please, because it's not working at the moment. Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you. The recording has been started.
Thank you very much. Welcome, everyone, to this council call on July the 20th, 2012. And we have apologies from Wolf. He will be absent on this call. Jeff Newman will only be able to be with us for the first 30 minutes, so that's why we're trying to start as soon as we can. And Mason Cole will not have internet access, so Mason, if you're online and you need to ask questions, please just speak up so that I know that you need to be counted in the queue. Glenn, can I ask you to do a roll call, please?
Certainly, Stefan, I will do that. Jeff Newman?
Here.
Ching Chow?
Here.
Jonathan Robinson?
Present.
Mason Cole?
Here.
Joel Stern is not yet on the line. Thomas Rickert?
Present.
Deja Mill?
Present.
John Berard is not yet on the line.
No, nope, Glenn, I'm here, been here for a while.
Ah, thank you, John. Brian Winterfelt, I do not see him on the call yet. David Taylor? Oswaldo Nuova?
Present.
Bill Drake?
I have apologies from Bill Drake. It's Joy.
Thank you very much, Joy. Wendy Seltzer.
Here, thanks.
Mary Wong. Not on the call yet. Rafik Damak, we have apologies from two. Joy Lidicott.
Yes.
Wolfgang Kleinwächter. Not on the call yet. Lenray Ajayi?
Present.
Carlos Aguirre?
Present.
Alan Greenberg?
Present.
Han Chen Lee? And Han Chen is on the call. I know he might be on mute. And for staff, we have David Olive, Margie Malam, Marika Koenigs, Julie Headland, Barry Cobb, Brian Peck, Alex Kulik from our technical staff, Natalie Peregrine, and myself, Glenn de Saint-Cherie. I see that Mary Wong has just joined us as well. Thank you, Stefan. Over to you. So we have a quorum in both the contracted parties and the non-contracted parties' house. Thank you.
Thanks, Glenn. And just for the record, I will note that I am also present. And come to any statement of interest updates.
Sorry, Stefan.
Hearing no updates. Any calls to review or amend the agenda, please?
Would it make sense to discuss the defensive registration subject and the IOC debate while Jeff is on the call? This is Thomas, sorry.
Jeff, would you like that?
This is Jeff. That's fine. I mean, I can listen to the recording, but if you guys want to do that, that would be great.
So that would mean moving item 6 and what was the other item you asked for, Thomas?
Yeah, I think the defensive registration briefing paper and the IOC discussion sort of are interlinked.
Okay. So we can move item 6 back towards to make that the next item after the consent agenda, if that helps. And so we'll do
Stefan,
that.
Assuming Brian Peck's around, is Brian available to give the update?
Yes, I am.
Okay. Any further request to review or amend? Okay,
Stefan, it's Glenn. Stefan, it's Glenn. Sorry, just to say that Wolfgang Kleinwächter and Brian Winterfeld and Rob Hogarth have joined the call since.
Sorry for being late. This is Wolfgang.
So, on the minutes of the previous meeting, the minutes were sent to the council list today. They are scheduled to be approved on July the 30th if no specific comments are made. We will, the minutes...
Hello, can anyone hear me? I can't hear anybody now.
...put up on the list. Who was that speaking? Was that you, David? Hello? Are we having a problem with the line?
You're still here.
Okay, well, that's good enough. Thought I heard someone say that they were not coming through, but we'll try and work through that. I will draw your attention, as usual, to our pending projects list. You have a link on the agenda. Ask if there are any questions on that list, please. Hearing no questions, I'll move on to item two, which is our usual consent agenda. And I will note that the SCI has now put forward, I'm sure we've all seen it, a procedure for the consent agenda, so thanks to the SCI for doing that work. I believe that procedure is currently out for public comment. And we have no consent agenda item for today's agenda, so we will move straight into...
I'm sorry, this is Wendy, and I object.
To what?
Just for the sake of it.
Oh,
sorry.
That was a joke then, I guess. So we'll move on to item six. As per Thomas's request, and we will go straight into this item on defensive registrations at the second level, an item for which we've asked Brian Peck from ICANN staff to provide an update for us. Brian, sorry for the schedule change. Are you able to give that update now, please?
Sure, of course. Thank you. Okay. Good morning, good afternoon. I don't know if it's good evening for anyone, but just to give you a brief update, I think we have about 10 minutes on this agenda, so hopefully we'll leave most of that for discussion among the council. As you know, Kurt Pritz sent a letter on behalf of ICANN staff introducing this briefing paper on defensive registrations back on June 4th. And I'm sorry, I don't have control over the slides. The next slide, please. This briefing paper basically was driven by a basically came from a motion from the new GTLD committee of the board back on April 12th. It was in response to a letter from the Department of Commerce Assistant Secretary Larry Strickland, as well as several right holders' concerns that had been expressed prior to the launch of the new GTLD applications earlier this year. In response to those particular events, ICANN did conduct a public comment period on the perceived need for defensive registration applications and how this perceived need might be addressed. Although the public comment specifically requested for commentators to address this issue, focusing on the first round, or the first top level, excuse me, of new TLD applications, actually most of the comments submitted focused on protections at the second level. So as a result of that public comment period, as well as subsequent discussions in Costa Rica, and sensing the public discussion on this issue focusing on the need or the perceived need for defensive registrations at the second level of new TLDs, as I said, the board GTLD committee requested or required staff to provide a briefing update on this issue to facilitate discussion in the community. It was submitted to the GNSO Council basically to facilitate this discussion on two things. One is whether there's further policy discussions are warranted to address this perceived need, and if so, you know, what is could be done to address the perceived need, and as part of that is whether there should be any additional protections on second-level registrations. Okay, next slide, please. The briefing paper basically provides a summary of comments on these particular areas. It identifies the primary concern, which is whether the need or the risk of defensive registrations at the second level of the TODs is much higher than at the top level. And the two main reasons for that, for this perceived risk, is that current existing rights protection measures are either insufficient and or ineffective for rights protection, and that the cost of monitoring or enforcing rights is unreasonably high, given that you're going to be facing perhaps at least 500 new GTLDs. The key question that comes from the community is, are additional protections necessary at the second level? The paper then goes through a summary of the existing second-level protections, as well as a summary of the suggested measures in the public comment forum that came out of that discussion to address the perceived needs for defensive registrations. The paper recommends, it suggests that the council consider utilizing one of its approaches or available processes, such as requesting an issue report or conducting a policy discussion to address this issue, and as to whether either some sort of manner should be moved forward to either address the perceived need and or to consider whether the additional second-level protections are necessary. If the intent is to encourage the community discussion, the paper raises the possibility that perhaps, especially if such changes are necessary before the designation of new TODs, that an STI type of mechanism might be usable. If the GNSO result of this discussion is that community conversation should continue but formal consideration be merited, then perhaps an issue report or PDP can also be requested. The paper does note that there are some other ongoing existing either issue reports such as the International Organization issue report. That final report, of course, is scheduled towards the end of August. The paper is also aware of, the existing PDP that likely would be called 18 months, after the designation of the new TODs on whether, existing RPMs are indeed adequate or whether further protections might be necessary. Okay. That's a brief outline of the briefing paper, the background of what drove it for its publication and what it contains. Unless anyone has any questions, perhaps then it would be best to open up for discussion. Thank you.
Thank you, Brian. Thank you very much for that very informative outline. And just a reminder, we are in this agenda item attempting to ascertain what our next steps might be. So I'd like to ask councillors to focus our discussions towards that aim, if possible. Zahid. You have your hand up, Zahid. Let's go to Jonathan then and go back to Zahid. Jonathan.
Thanks, Stefan. I have a couple of simple questions. I apologize. There may be some background noise at the moment, so hopefully it stays away. The first thing I noticed, Brian, is that there's reference in your presentation to the concept of defensive applications. I'm not sure that we've seen that term before, and I just think that one of the issues that perhaps caused the confusion, we shouldn't mix up, when there was all the input on the public comment period and there was significant reference to second level, part of that may be simply as a result of confusion on the terminology, because it was introduced, the concept of defensive registrations, in talking about new TLDs being created at the top level. After that, the response to the comments were naturally when defensive registrations has historically meant at the second level. So it's helpful that you've clarified that by the use of the term defensive applications, but our view of those comments coming in must be tempered by the use of the confusing terminology previously. There's one other point of clarification that I think we should be sure to make sure we focus on here, and that is that we're focusing, I believe, on the current round of new GTLD applications and additional protections for this round. But again, when we talk about this, we should be clear, are we focusing on this round, future rounds, or both? So I think those are just two comments, Stefan, in and around clarifying the way in which we discuss this, but I hear you that we want to focus on what specific action the council takes going forward.
Thanks, Jonathan. And yeah, just to pick that up and you see that page on the Adobe Now, but just for the benefit of people who aren't on Adobe, some suggested possibilities for the council to take action on this is whether we request an issue report as a prelude to a possible PDP, or a mechanism that is quoted as an STI type mechanism. For those of you who recall, that was the special trademark issues group that was put together to deal with rights protection mechanisms within the new GTLD program. So those are two possibilities that are being put out there by staff. And it would be, I think, very helpful for us to try and narrow down what, as a council, we might like to do. So let's continue the conversation. Zahid, I believe you're now off mute.
Yes, I am. Thank you, Stefan. Two points. One to Brian. We in the BC had suggested that the Trademark Clearinghouse watch notice or claim notice should be extended beyond the existing 31 day or 30 days as it exists right now, with the understanding that if you can do it for the 30 days after launch, you could possibly also do it beyond the 30 days, and it would make sense to extend that. We haven't seen that on the sort of the various strengthening existing RPMs on page 4 of the briefing paper, and so some of our members were disappointed. And I was wondering whether staff had considered that aspect or that comment from the DC or not. That is my question. And by way of sort of moving forward, I think some kind of approach where the GNSO basically tries and addresses this maybe in an STI format or some others may be helpful. But I also see that there is a suggestion for a public comment period, which the staff briefing paper makes, and maybe we could have that public comment period and then follow that up with maybe the STI sort of thing. Yes, that's all I have to say. Thanks.
Thanks, Zahid. Brian, can I just turn to you for answers to Zahid's question, if possible?
Sure. No, and thank you, Zahid, for bringing that up. We did, I mean, in this paper, we kind of took a broader overview of some of the comments, you know, some of the broader general areas, if you will, categorizing some of the comments in terms of suggestions that were raised in the last public comment period. But we are aware of the particular BC proposal that you mentioned. And, again, the purpose of the paper was trying to draw in, you know, kind of a broader overview of some of the directions or general responses to, as I say, possible ways to address existing RPMs to improve them, if you will, that were drawn from the public comment period.
Thanks, Brian. Just to make it clear, there is a comment period planned for this paper?
No, there's not that we're aware of. I mean, there hasn't been planned. If that's the simple answer is no.
And there's a suggestion that we have a comment period. Is that correct? That staff made, or is it just a discussion item?
Just a discussion item.
Thank you. So Alan is next.
Thank you.
We seem to have an echo suddenly. I'll go ahead anyway. The paper was driven by a lot of comments and a lot of actions that have happened over the last couple of years in preparation for the new GTLDs, and specifically was triggered by comments that were made to, as was pointed out a few minutes ago, a different comment period. There was a comment period on defensive applications. Unfortunately, the term defensive registrations was sometimes used in that context, but defensive applications at the first level, some respondents took the opportunity to talk about second-level defensive registrations, and that was at least in part what triggered this the board request for this briefing paper. I think we do need a comment period at this point. I think we need it specifically focused on second-level defensive registrations in light of this paper, and in particular to give an opportunity to those who believe we do not need additional mechanisms to speak up, since those who spoke up did so not in response to a particular question, but just because they felt the time was ripe to do it. I think we need time for a balanced comment period on the entire issue, so that if we go ahead either with an issue report or an STI-like effort or something, we have input from all parts of the community and can then make some level of decision as to whether we need to go forward, if we need to go forward, or what form it should take. I think at this point we have a rather unbalanced position because it's really being forced by those who do believe that additional rights are necessary, and I think we need a more balanced review from the community before we proceed. Thank you.
Alan, thank you. Just to add to the conversation, Jeff has now had to drop off the call. He's asked me to convey a proposal, which would be that we may want to request an issue report on this and include it with the protection of IGO's work that is currently going on, so that this can be a single PDP done all together, rather than have three separate work streams going on concurrently. Jeff says that the STI approach, as it was seen during the new GTLD program, felt a little bit too rushed, and that the STI approach worked reasonably well because there was preparation there before that had been done by the IRT to feed into the STI, but here we don't have that level of preparation. So those are two comments, and let's now turn to David.
Thanks, Stefan. I think I was just picking up on the PowerPoint presentation there, where we've got if the intent is to encourage community discussion regarding the existing RMPs and possible changes prior to the delegation of new GTLDs, then that's where I think there's, you know, it needs to be quick. She's not going against what Jeff said there. It doesn't need to be rushed, but it does obviously then need to be something which is quick. So I think I'd certainly favour something like an STI type of procedure. It might be feasible in, if it's an expert group, but two additions on that, I don't think it should be IPC-led. That's without a doubt. But we should have, and as Zahid mentions there, perhaps a comment period, a public comment period, so we can get a good idea of what the concerns are, and then if need be followed up with that. But I mean, an issues report is another way obviously of doing this, but it's going to take a lot of time, so I don't know how close that is to do prior to delegation of new GTLDs. I'd have thought that's not going to happen.
Thanks, David. And there would be two avenues there that the council would need to explore. An issues report would be a motion, so that would have to come in at the next meeting. We could encourage a comment period be opened. In my understanding of that is that we don't necessarily need a motion for that. So unless I'm wrong there, please someone correct me, but that could be done perhaps a little quicker. Let's turn to Thomas.
Thank you, Stefan. Just to add to what has already been said, what I observe now is that we have the IOC-RCRC discussion group, which was formerly the drafting team. We have the PDP that was already mentioned. We have this briefing paper. We have an awful lot of open questions regarding the URS and its implementation and possible changes to it. And currently there is a quite vivid debate about the technical implementation of the trademark clearinghouse, all of which have sort of the common denominators that the questions behind those efforts are there enough protections? Are the proposed protections strong enough? And finally, do we need differentiation of target groups, may it be quote-unquote ordinary trademark holders, IGOs, or organizations that derive their protections from treaties such as the IOC and RCRC? So I think that the Council would be well advised to sort of amalgamate those efforts or its responses into a single line of action. I'm not sure whether requesting a public comment phase to the briefing paper would help us at this stage. I mean, we would get a quick response, but at the same time, it might be sort of repetitive to what we're actually trying to achieve. So I would like to hear more discussion about the strategic options that we as a council have to address the issues that I just mentioned in the best quality and most expedient way. Thank you.
Thanks, Thomas. John.
Well, I want to agree with everything that's been said, even though some of what's been said is counter to some of the comments are contrary. Within the context of the tools we have in our kit, in order to both expedite and integrate, it may be that the issues report is really the only and best way for us to go. We could instigate a public discussion using the briefing paper as the initiating documentation, but it strikes me that that doesn't get us the aggregation, the consolidation of all the issues that seem to be making a lot of sense to my ear this morning. So in a public comment period, is essentially just, you know, rearranging the process. I mean, I realize that an issues report would require a motion, which couldn't come until the next meeting. But maybe we could have an interim meeting. Maybe we could draft that motion today and have a conference call in 8 days just for that specific purpose and move things along quickly, which would be additional interesting counterpoint. But I do think that the consolidation of all the issues, as Thomas has suggested, I do think that the speed that David has suggested, I do think that registrations at the second level, those are essential, especially from the perspective of the BC, and anything that we could do to consolidate and expedite would be well received, I think.
Thank you. Margie, do you have a... something to tell us about the procedures that have been suggested?
Yes, I wanted to clarify there's no need for a motion for a public comment form, so I think you're correct, Stefan, on that point. And then the other point I wanted to make is one of the things that staff we were thinking of doing is since we've got the IGO issue report open right now for public comment and we're in the process of finalizing it for to prepare the final issue report, you know, this issue could be wrapped up in that. And I just wanted to get the council's viewpoints on whether, you know, that would be appropriate. In other words, you know, the issue for IGOs is second level, and should it be looked at just at the IGO level, at the Red Cross level, or at the broader level? And that's what the final issue report, could explore so that you don't have to go through the start of another issue report unless the council feels that they'd rather have the issue fully briefed on the broader issue of second level.
Thank you, Margie. So we have a couple of more suggestions that, just to summarize them, one that we might want to look at an expedited motion to open an issue report specifically on this with an interim meeting set just for that. Another, that we blend this work into the ongoing work on the IGO protection issue report and blend the comment periods there. Let's continue the discussion then. I have Brian, Zahid, Ching, and Alan, Mary, and then let's close it off after Mary. Brian.
Thank you, Stefan. I just wanted to voice support. I think, first of all, a public comment period wouldn't necessarily be a bad thing, just to hear more from the community. I'm not sure that I agree with what some of the previous people said. I think Alan mentioned that the comments weren't necessarily balanced. I think people were expressing legitimate concerns, and I think other people had the opportunity to voice comments. But I think it's always good to hear more. But I do want to agree with David, what he said previously. I think something like an STI-type mechanism might be extremely helpful. I think particularly when we're talking about the implementation issues, that there seem to be a growing laundry list of. That seems to be an expeditious way to deal with those. And then perhaps we want to also think about a PDP as well, potentially, to think about additions maybe rather than implementation issues to the second level protection, particularly if the public comment period dictates that that's something the community feels is needed.
Thanks, Brian. Zahid?
Thanks, thanks, Stefan. I got off mute quicker this
thanks.
Time. Sorry. I was going to say that, you know, there's two separate issues here. There's the IOC, RCRC, which has a defensive second level issue, but basically the entire basis of their claim, in a sense, if you will, is that they are special, they have special rights, and we've been, you know, every time they speak and if we're going to deal with their issues, they're talking about ex-ante protection, something that should just not have happened, not stuff that they have to go after using URS or, you know, the trademark clearinghouse or other mechanisms. Also, as far as defensive registration as a subject is concerned, I mean, if I'm looking at the briefing paper, the briefing paper clearly states right at the top in the background when it's laying out the issue, it's talking about trademarks. It says, and I read out from you know, let me read this into the record. It says that the perception that they would need to submit defensive GATLD applications as a means to protect their trademarks, and it goes on further, talk about second-level protection. Also, and it's talking about trademark and rights holders of that nature. That's a very different sort of right. Currently, for instance, in the URS, the only right that is available is trademark rights. It's not the IOC, RCRC. They're excluded from that process. So maybe if you were going to conflate these two things, it will create more confusion. And I think a more focused approach in the two different areas would be helpful. That's just my view. I think, and also, if you open all of it together as a public comment period, then, you know, when people are submitting the comments, they need to be clear exactly on what issue they're submitting. And if we have the IOC, RCRC, and the issue of second-level defensive registration put together, and the trademark holder is saying what they have to say and IOC, RCRC saying what they have to say, I think it may cause some confusion. So I'd be in favor of having, you know, not conflating these two, at least that's my thought. So a public comments period specifically on defensive registrations at the second level would be something that I would support, and support what Brian and David said earlier as well. Thank you.
Thank you. Margie, is your hand still up?
No, sorry.
Thank you. Ching?
Thank you, Stefan. I would just like to make my point brief. I guess Arthur has made some points related to whether we should combine the effort between this one and the IGO. So, I mean, my personal view is that we have put together quite a number of resources, I mean, the past few years on the right protection mechanism. I'm just getting a sense that if we add this another project or the issue report, is that whether the community will just think that the rights protection mechanism has been in place, but it's not enough. So we are actually, as this group is adding another new layer for this protection mechanism. So I'm just worried that if this would never be enough for another layer of mechanism. And I mean, speaking as a registry, I think the community and especially the industry, we have used this term defensive registration since we have new GTOD in 2004, and I mean for this run, so this has been used wildly in this business. So I'm just trying to make a clear. I mean, just maybe others can help make a clarification on what exactly in this potential issue report. I mean, the meaning and the definition of the defensive registration. If it is not about the summarized process of each GTOD in the past or in the future. What can it do to, you know, to really to guarantee the rights for the GMA owners? I'd just like to put them on the records. Thank you.
Thank you, Ching. Alan.
Yeah, thank you. Three quick points. First of all, a clarification. When I said the current comments we have were not balanced, it was because those were made in response to a question that wasn't asked, and therefore some people chose to answer a question that was unrelated, really, to the question that was asked in the comment period on top-level defensive applications. And I think if we're going to take those comments into account, we really have to do it in a more balanced form. So that was the reason I suggested that. I'll point out that at this point, the URS, one of the, and I'll try to use the terms that have been used about it, one of the critical defense mechanisms that is supposed to be making the new GTLDs palatable is unimplementable, and we have not even heard a plan from staff as to what process they're going to use to try to make it implementable or replace it. I don't know why there's that long delay, but I don't see how any group can start deliberations on other protections when we don't even know right now if the URS, which was considered a cornerstone of the current protections, is going to exist or not, or in what form. So I think that's something that we need as input before we can go forward. And in terms of how we go forward, I think we really need to understand what kind of additional protections people are looking for at what level to focus the argument, the discussion. So I really think we need more input. It is not clear to me, and I'd like to ask staff, how an issue report on this subject would differ substantively from this briefing paper. I know it would have some components that are required by bylaw for an issue report in terms of recommendations and statement about scope, but really, would it be considering different content, or is it just going to be a rehash of this document, adding the structural pieces? Thank you.
Thank you, Alan, and we'll finish with Mary, as suggested earlier on.
Thanks, Stefan. So without repeating what others have said in the interest of time, particularly Thomas and just now Alan, I guess there's a couple of things. First of all, I mean, the point that this may or may not be a big issue, and not going into that, but it has come about because of comments that were made in respect of a different comment period. I would be wary of doing a number of the things that have been suggested, specifically opening a public comment period on this. I think it's not a good idea. Secondly, having some kind of expedited motion at a special meeting to consider it, I think, sends the wrong message to the community as to the prioritization of this item over other work items. So to the extent that this is an issue that we want to pursue in the next, I don't know, 6 months or a year, then I don't think we're left with that many options. Margie's idea of combining the final issue report, I think, has some merit, in part because, and I understand what Zahi was saying about the different bases upon which the IOC and RC and then the IGOs are basing their arguments for special protections versus the general trademark issue. But there is significant overlap, for one thing. For example, the IGOs are basing at least part of their argument on an IP basis, the Article 62 of the Paris Convention. So first of all, substantively, I think there is some overlap amongst at least some of the second-level issues we're dealing with. And secondly, in terms of workload management, as well as just having things not slip through the cracks or be duplicative, it seems to make sense to go for some kind of amalgamated or consolidated approach. What that might be, I'm not sure. Like, I think Margie's idea has some merit, but I do want to push for some kind of consolidation instead of us really what we're doing now is having at least three or four separate tracks. We've got the IOCRC drafting team discussion. We've got things to do when we come to the IGO issue. We've got specific questions about the URS, and finally now we have this issue, and I just don't think having them as separate tracks is a good way to go. Thanks.
Thanks, Mary. We'll close off the discussion there. We've had 40 minutes on this item already. We have several options that have been put on the table, including a simple comment period, including blending the IGO work with this track, including requesting an issue report. These will be shown in the minutes of this meeting, and I would encourage councillors to continue this conversation on the list to try and determine some next steps, which we have unfortunately failed to do with any clarity today. And having said that, we will then move back to the standard agenda as previously planned and go back to our previous item three, which is just a very quick look at the election procedure that I have pushed to the list as a proposed procedure for the upcoming leadership elections. This was already discussed in Prague. This is a mildly updated version of what was already discussed by the council in Prague. Just to add a bit more detail as required, but the procedure itself hasn't changed, so we are looking to ask for nominations for submissions of nominees from each house for the position of council chair no later than September 26th. And nominees would be required to accept their candidacy and submit a candidacy statement in writing to the secretariat by September the 28th. We would, this is for the House, sorry, for the chair elections only. We would then look to organize a meeting with the council members and a kind of question-answer session with the council members during one of the Toronto working sessions. We would then call for voting to take place during the open council meeting in Toronto at the AGM. That would be on October the 17th. We would follow the procedure that was followed last year. We would have the council meeting with the current council, and that would be completed. We would then ask for the new council to be seated. We would have a meeting with only one agenda item on that new council's meeting, and that would be the chair election. That meeting would still continue to be run by me as current chair, my term being up at the end of the AGM. So the new chair, if elected, would take office immediately after the AGM and would therefore lead the first teleconference that the council has after the Toronto AGM. And as a reminder, as far as the vice chairs are concerned, each house is able to follow its own procedure and determine for itself how it wants to elect, nominate, or whatever it wants to do for the vice chairs. So the procedure that we are looking at is only for the election of the chair. Any questions or comments? Zahid. Off mute, Zahid.
I'm here, sorry. I'm getting in trouble with something. Stefan, yeah, just a quick question. We were discussing this in our BC call, and what we couldn't actually basically sort of get more information on, what would be the status of NCA voting in the election process? Do they get a vote? Do they not get a vote? What happened last time, and how do we expect that to work itself out in the next in this election?
Yeah, thanks for that question. So we are suggesting that the new council vote. This means that the new newly seated NCAs would be the ones that would be called to vote. As you know, we have three NCAs, non-com appointees, two of which have a vote and one does not. And we refer to that NCA as the homeless NCA. So each of the two voting NCAs are assigned to one of the two council houses. That choice and determination is made by the NCAs and each house. And it is our hope that that work would be completed by the time we come to the AGM. This was the case last year. It was the case the previous year. And so we do not anticipate any need to change that for this year's procedure. Does that answer your question? Take that silent as agreement. Alan.
Thanks. Thank you. My recollection is that due to an issue raised regarding the selection of the NCAs, that last year the NOMCOM said that it would designate where each NCA goes, and I presume that was going to be continued.
You are absolutely right, Alan, and thanks for putting me straight on that. We have not heard from the NOMCOM in this regard since that that procedure last year. So I cannot confirm to you at this time that it is their intent to dictate where the NCA would go, but you are absolutely right that this point was made last year, an issue was raised, and the NOMCOM said it would assign itself the NCAs,
It may be good to check with the current chair whether this NCA plans to assign all three or just the ones that they're appointing or whatever their plan is, so we know ahead of time what we have to do.
To assign all three. And I will ask Glenn to make a note of this as an action item for me to contact the current NOMCOM chair and ask or get confirmation that that remains the plan.
Thank you.
Thank you, Alan, for that useful comment. Any further comments on this? Hearing or seeing none, can I call for anyone who would object to this procedure? If no objections are voiced, then we will consider that this procedure is approved, and we will operate the voting according to this procedure. Does anyone object to this procedure? Thank you very much. So we will carry out the elections in this manner and move to item four. And this item has been put on the agenda because we now have an agreed, a renewed .com agreement, and there's a link in the agenda there so that you can go to the board resolution that indicates renewal of the .com agreement between ICANN and the .com operator. This being the case, you will recall that there was a request to hold off on the who is policy development process work on the SIC who is, PDP, until such a time as that agreement had been concluded. This having been done, the question is now asked, should we move forward on this work before the previously agreed upon date of November for starting it so that we don't waste time on this work. In order to introduce this topic, we have asked Marika Koenigs from ICANN staff to provide us with a quick update. Marika, is this something you can do?
Yes, this is Marika. Hello, everyone. I think, Stefan, actually you said most of it, but maybe just to refresh people's mind on where this PDP stands. This was actually an issue where the council requested an issue report back in September of last year. Staff prepared a preliminary issue report and then a final issue report, which was published in February. And then as a result of that, the council actually initiated a PDP on this topic at its meeting in the 14th of March, and I believe that was in Costa Rica. However, then at the wrap-up session following that, where we started discussing, okay, so now the PDP has been initiated, and the normal next step is then to form a drafting team that would develop a charter, following which the council normally then adopts a charter, and the working group kicks off and then starts its work on the issue. Some suggested that at this point in time it might be appropriate to wait a little bit with that next step and then see what the outcome was going to be of the .com negotiations, as there were also discussions whether the issue might get addressed as part of that. So, however, now that the COM agreement has been concluded, or the renewal has concluded, and it's clear that SICKWIS is not going to be addressed as part of that, the question is indeed, does the council still want to wait until after 30th of November to restart the PDP, or does it make sense to continue now, and indeed the next step would be to draft up a call for volunteers to form a drafting team to develop a charter for the PDP working group?
Thanks, Marika. Just to clarify, would a motion be needed to restart that work, do you think?
This is Marika. In my view, no. I think we did do a motion on delaying it, but I think if there would be a agreement here on the call that people want to start now, I think it's probably something we can just record in the minutes that the council decided not to wait until that date, but actually start now, as the PDP was already initiated. It's more a question of the timing.
Thank you. Jonathan.
Thanks, Stefan. I think it's just important to remind myself and hopefully my colleagues as well that I think the reasons for the delay were not solely, if not and arguably not principally associated with the .com agreement, I think, and the negotiation that was taking place. I mean, I think there were a couple of other factors that were under consideration at the time. And from my recollection, they were the following, really. There was lots of work going on a variety of different Whois topics. There was certainly a concern over the overall workload, therefore, and these various parallel tracks. There was some discussion about the fact that this was a piece of work that didn't affect all of the registries, but really was targeted on and affected one particular registry operator or registry. So I think, although we've just in introducing this topic, we focused on the fact that there was, of course, the background work going on the .com agreement, and that this may also have produced an outcome on. SICKWIS, it wasn't the only factor we were considering. So in discussing it, I just urge that we bear in mind those other factors as well. Thanks.
Thanks, Jonathan. I also feel that it's important to clarify, although I believe that everything you said is absolutely right, there is the process has been initiated, i.e. there was a vote. There was a decision to initiate this work. If you recall, when we decided to delay, there was actually concern voiced that we were setting a precedent for not doing a PDP when it's been voted upon. So I think we also have to look at the other side of the issue that you're raising and tread carefully, because we do have a positive vote to initiate a PDP, and I don't think that either the workload, the single registry operator being impacted by this, or the other Whois work at this stage can be good reasons for delaying a PDP that the council has agreed it wants to initiate. But that's a personal view. Zahid.
Hi, thank you. Just wanted to share the views of BC. We discussed this earlier, and it's our view that we would like this PDP to move forward, amongst other things, of course, because of the recent contract of .com. And if you should apply across the board. I understand why maybe this wasn't part of the .com agreement. And so it makes more sense now that it should be a PDP that should apply to everybody. I understand that, at the moment there are only few that doesn't apply to, but nonetheless, I think we should move forward. And we have two volunteers who already want to be part of the charter drafting team. One would be Elisa Cooper, and another Susan Kawaguchi, who was a part of the WHOIS review team. So we would like to see this move forward.
Thank you, Zahid. David.
Thanks, Stefan. I couldn't have prepared it, and I haven't spoken to Zahid beforehand at all on this, but we'd certainly support it on IPC. We've discussed it as well on IPC, certainly the formation of the PICU's PDP drafting team. And just like Zahid, and rather spookily, we've got two volunteers. One's Jonathan Zuck, and the other one's Steve Metalitz. So I'm echoing Zahid perfectly there, and that wasn't planned.
Thank you. Any further comments? In which case, I will call for... does anyone disagree with the relaunch of this PDP immediately? Now, we have to take into account the fact that some people aren't on the call. There are... Our rules do state that if we are voting for something, we only allow absentee voting in certain cases. I would suggest that we apply similar rules to this instance, even though, as Marika told us earlier on, what we're doing here is simply dealing with an issue of time. We're not dealing with the PDP itself. That, as I said earlier on, has been voted on. So I do want to make the point that I've called for a disapproval, mindful of the fact that some councillors aren't on the call today, but also mindful of the fact that, in my view, this decision does not require any type of absentee voting possibility because we are just dealing with a timing issue. If anyone violently disagrees with that assessment, please speak up. David.
Sorry, I haven't put my hand down. I'll put it down.
Okay, hearing none, no disagreement to either restarting the PDP or doing it in this way, we will reinitiate the PDP. We will move on to item 5 and look at the WHOIS review team final report. You will, I hope, all remember that we had we briefly touched on this in... During the Prague wrap-up, because there's a board resolution asking us for a response by August the 31st, which is extremely short time-wise, for input to this final report. So we are asking the question of how the council should respond to this or how does the council want to respond to this. In order to introduce this topic, we have asked Margie Milam to provide us with a quick update. So, Margie, over to you, please.
Yes, thank you, Stefan. You pretty much covered what I did not intend to go give you an overview of the report. What I did do on this slide that you see in the Adobe Connect room is just show you so you can see, refresh your memory on what the WHOIS review team recommendations are. But really, this is more of a process issue for the council to decide what the next steps are in light of board resolution asking for input from the various SOs and ACs by August 31st. And so that's really the you know, the point to kick off the discussion.
Thank you, Margie. So can I open this up for discussion, please? Ask if there are any comments or suggestions on what next steps we could take here. Look, like Wendy.
Thanks. And so as NCSG has stated, we feel strongly that these are policy issues, and so much as the council loves doing work on WHOIS, I think we need to go through policy development if any of these things are to be implemented.
That doesn't really help us answer the board by the 31st of August, except to say unless I've misunderstood your suggestion, would your suggestion be that we respond with the notion that we'd look at doing some policy development work on this?
Yes, that we can't, as a council, say, yes, go ahead, but rather that the way for us to respond is to take this as a policy development matter.
Thank you. Zahid.
I was just, again, this is something we discussed on our BC call earlier, and we were of the view that it's important, and the way the WHO is review team is put out is it's not sort of subject to, in a sense, the GNSO per se. It's a mandated review under the AOC, and the board has to take that on board and then decide whether it wants to implement it or not. If it feeds back in, and let's remember that the WHO is review team had, you know, a public comment period. They went to everybody. They went to the GNSO and even the constituencies, et cetera, and stakeholder groups. So this is sort of a final report that we have here where I think the expectation of the WHO is review team under the AOC was that it would be implemented. And I think that's one of the views we got, at least from one of the members who was on the WHO is review team, that there is disappointment within the review team that this would have been something that would have been implemented, and the discussion should be around that, as opposed to saying, well, I guess we need to start a PDP and do the whole thing again with respect to policy issues. Anyway, that was just sort of the thoughts and responses. On moving forward, I think, I'd like to hear from Margie, who just made a presentation, and see, is it possible for us to filter some of these things and say, well, which are the ones that definitely need a PDP, which are the ones that can be dealt with in implementation mechanisms, and you know, and that's where we can respond much more with much more agility to the board's request. And if there are some things that definitely are part of a PDP, well, you know, we can think about it. But saying that the whole package of whatever the U.S. review team has proposed, it should go into a PDP or should be PDPs, tends to be sort of something I think a lot of people may be disappointed with and may not help the board move forward. So, these are the thoughts that we have. Thanks.
Thanks, Aid. And as a practical issue, then it may be useful to suggest that we write some kind of written response to the board by August the 31st. In order to do that, we could try and do what we normally do, which is to ask someone to volunteer to do an initial draft and then discuss it on the list. We do have the time to do that. So that would be my suggestion, just listening to both you and Wendy, that we might look at least responding with a letter to the board, rather than running the risk of not responding at all within the deadline that's been set. Alan?
Thank you. I think the onus is on the board to identify which issues are policy and which issues it believes it does not need policy advice on. Certainly some of the issues are about as far from GNSO responsibility as one could imagine. I don't think it's within our mandate to decide where compliance reports to in the staff organization of ICANN, and there are other things like that. So to say the whole set of policy recommendations are GNSO policy, I think is a laughable matter. Now, it is not unreasonable for us to, in a letter to the board or in a comment to the board, identify the things that we believe do require policy, that is, advising the board that we think they should not act on certain issues because they're very, very much policy, and that we certainly could do by that period of time. Ultimately, it's a board decision what it needs policy advice on and what it doesn't. But we should certainly input into that process if we believe strongly that some of the issues do require PDP deliberations, whether it's a PDP or some other process. Thank you.
Thanks, Alan. Brian.
Thanks, Stefan. I just wanted to agree with what Alan just said and also what Zahid said earlier, that I think it definitely would be a mistake to blanket these all under the category of policy development, and that we should parse them out and look more carefully at the list.
Thanks, Brian. So if there's no further discussion, may I suggest that someone volunteer for an initial draft, or to try and drive us into the direction of the response that we'd like to provide to the board. If there are any volunteers, please make yourselves known now or on the list later. Thomas.
Yeah, I just have a question. I mean, it makes perfect sense to find out which of the topics are actually requiring GNSO policy work, but at the same time, how is the link to, or how does this oppose to the current RAA negotiations, which also touch upon some of these issues?
And you're asking that question of whom?
Well, if you would volunteer to answer, I'd gladly take an answer from you.
No, I'm afraid not. That's not my role. But unless Margie wants to answer, we'll just write the question down, try and get you an answer.
Well, because I think in order to give a full answer to the board, we would know how this interrelates.
Margie?
Stefania, I mean, as staff, we're taking the position that we've been asked to look at them as well, but we haven't formally gone through each issue to identify which one's appropriate for PDP versus not. And so that is some work that's being done on the staff side to kind of assess them. But the point that you raised, Thomas, is, you know, there's different ways of doing this. You can do it through a PDP, and then certainly a lot of this is appropriate for a PDP versus through contract negotiations, and a lot of this, several aspects of this is part of the negotiation. So there's just multiple tracks of being able to do this, and then really for the council, the question is, so what track do you guys prefer? And that's what hopefully what the drafting team could, you know, kind of sort out on the types of, you know, things that the council would like to, you know, initiate an issue report and start a process on.
Thanks, Margie. Any further comments or questions? I know that Brian has volunteered on the chat to draft a letter for which I express my thanks. Any further comments? In which case, hearing none, we will move on to item 7, which deals with the fake renewal notices work that has been going on. This was an item that we'd initially planned for our Prague meeting but ran out of time before we were able to get to this item in Prague. So once again, apologies to Mikey, who was on hand there to provide a report, and thanks to Mikey for being on hand once again in this meeting to provide an update, a presentation of the updated fake renewals notices report that this group has produced. Mikey, over to you.
Thanks, Stefan. This is Mikey O'Connor, for the record. And on your screen is actually the red line version of the report. We had a little conversation before the meeting about what the best way to do this was, and it seems to me that the way to zero you in on this is to just look at this very short report. If you're in my circumstance, I'd recommend zooming in a little bit because it's a pretty small type. But if you go to page 3 on the Adobe Connect gizmo at the bottom, that gives you the background. This is a very narrowly chartered, very narrowly scoped drafting group. It's not chartered to do much except go to the registrars and ask the registrars what the situation is with regard to fake renewal notices. Basically, we were chartered to go out, build a survey, and summarize that survey, which we did. We got a little outside of our brief by also coming up with a list of ideas about how to proceed, and those are coming in a minute. When we came back to you the last time, I think in Costa Rica, the request from the council was, why don't we go out for public comment just to find out what the community's reaction was to that. And so in the middle of that page, you can see the first real substantive change to this, which is that we did. As a result of those comments, we've updated this report. So I just very quickly want to take you through the updates, primarily where they fall. Let me just scroll down, and I'll give you a page number. There's a long description of the survey, and really the first substantive change comes on page 20. Let's start on page 23. So if you just roll with the little buttons at the bottom of your screen till you're to page 23, what you should be seeing is something that starts off with our first recommendation, which is to add a section to the RAA that addresses business practices. And that recommendation did not change. That's the one that this completely outside of its scope, completely unchartered activity of the drafting team came up with as our suggestion. And you have to remember that this was presented to you as just that. We were not really chartered to make this series of suggestions. We just did because we were so far into it. And so you are completely welcome to ignore everything from this part of the report on. If you go to the next page, page 24, you start to see that our first recommendation was just make a change to the RAA, period. And that's the one we liked the best. On the next page begins a series of ideas that we think are fine, but we don't like as much, mostly because they involve PDPs, and it was at least the view of this drafting group that this is such a narrow issue that a PDP may not be warranted. But starting on page 24 is the first of a whole series of suggestions of where you could put this on a PDP. The first two add this to one of the IRTP PDPs, or add it to an upcoming PDP on the RAA, if there is one. We aren't sure. This was written quite some time ago, so it may be that that issue is changed. The next one is in blue. It's at the bottom of page 25, and this is the first change due to public comments. We added this as an option, that if the who is PDP structure supported it, this might be a place to put this topic, because this does have a lot to do with, in many cases, who is abuse. So that would be an option for you. We as a drafting team, remember, are lukewarm to these ideas. We don't oppose them. We put these in our lukewarm category. The next one on page 26 is to come up with a very narrowly focused PDP on fake renewal notices itself. In the pro section of this, one thing to point out to you is that this might be an opportunity to do a fast-track PDP. If you all wanted to do a pilot project, pilot PDP, that was a fast one. Because this is such a narrow issue, this might be one to try that out. There's one for you to think about. We then didn't make any changes until page 28, where what we had on page 28 was our view that we didn't we basically moved that one higher in the stack. And that concludes our little summary. Then at the very end, we have the public comments we got, which are summarized. And you'll note that there are some substantive comments in these public comments that have to do with the content of the policy issue. And we did not include those in this report because we were not chartered to do policy work. We were chartered to do a survey, and then we got a little bit off the reservation and came up with some ideas on how to proceed. But we were very uncomfortable as a drafting team addressing policy issues because we really weren't chartered to do that. So that's kind of the story in a nutshell. The original question was, is there smoke or is there fire? We stand by our conclusion that there is an issue here that needs to be addressed in some way. We still think that the preferred approach would be to simply change the RIA to handle that. But we've provided you a bunch of options as to other ways to proceed. And, Stefan, with that, I'll let you run the meeting, and if there are questions, I'm happy to answer them. Thanks.
IT, thanks very much. Can I call for comments or questions at this time, please? And as a reminder, this is another item where we are looking for ways forward rather than just discussion. Thank you. Alan.
Thank you. I'd like to speak to the notion of a fast-track PDP. The recommendation number one, which is the recommended one, implies that the solution is simple enough that a few people in a room can come up with wording to insert in the RAA and that it would be generally acceptable to all. If that is indeed the case, then the concept of the fast-track PDP we've talked about, this fits the bill exactly. That is, there is not a lot of controversy. We know what the answer is or can come up with the answer quickly. I think it would do a number of things. It would demonstrate to the community that GNSO can act quickly. And right now, that is not the impression the community has about the GNSO. It would put in place a fix to this problem, which would not wait 5 years for the bad actors to be forced to sign the new RAA. And those are the people likely impacted, the ones who are not going to step up right away and sign. So it would solve the problem. It would address it in a way that's acceptable. It would demonstrate to the community that we indeed can act quickly. And I think it is the way to go. Thank you.
Thank you, Adam. Any further comments or questions?
Definitely. Zahid, I'm having trouble in the room. Can I get in the queue?
Yeah. Zahid, please.
Hi, I just wanted to say yes. First of all, Mikey, thank you for the hard work on this. We know that you had to sort of be deferred from the last call, so we thank you for your patience and being available today to brief us. Also, what I wanted to say was I agree with Alan. It seems like something that can be I don't think every type of fake renewal notice can be resolved by maybe the RAA, but I think most of them can with respect to resellers and others. And that language can, I hope, be drafted quickly. So I would also support a possible fast track as an option. But I just wanted to know whether this is something that staff is considering at the moment in the negotiations. Maybe I don't know if Margie's still on the call, and she is. Is this something that is being considered in the negotiations with the registrars at the moment or not?
Margie, is that something you can answer?
Yeah, I certainly can. I mean, you've seen the documents that have been published on both sides regarding the where we are in the draft. This is not being actively negotiated. So if you want it to be included in the negotiations, you know, that you might want to think about how to do that.
Stefan, it's Mason.
Mason, please go ahead.
I agree with Alan. I think this would be a candidate for a fast-track PDP. One of my questions is whether or not the council has fast-track PDP mechanism available to it. I don't understand that they do. If there is one, perhaps we could put it to use. I don't disagree with that. I agree that, you know, look, we all know who we're talking about here in terms of the bad actor. There's one particular bad reseller, and I think Mikey and his team successfully identified that fact. What I might offer to the council is to confer with the registrars and see if they're, figure out what the fastest method of dealing with this is, and then come back and offer that to the council. I'll be glad to do that on the registrar's behalf, if that's acceptable to the council.
Mason, thanks very much. I think that's a very positive suggestion, although I shouldn't probably comment at all, but I will say that the notion of a fast-track PDP is something that we've discussed several times in the past, but you are right. There's no mechanism available to us right now to do a fast-track PDP rather than apart from just agreeing to do it fast. But there's no specific notion of fast-track PDPs in our bylaws at the moment. Alan?
Yeah, no, I was going to say that there is the PDP group explicitly did not come up with a fast-track. However, we do know how to streamline what we have, and I think at the same time this group could identify potential bylaw changes that would create a fast track in the future. But, you know, it could be done in well under 9 months should we choose to. We do have that ability with today's PDP and probably identify a way to cut a few more months off of it given the nature of this type of problem. So this one would not be as fast as it possibly could be in the future, but I think we have to go through the exercise at least once to know how to draft rules for how to do it even better in the future. Thank you.
Thanks, Alan. It does seem that Mason's suggestion to confer with the registrars and see what possible options the registrars can suggest is possibly the most useful one available to us at this early stage before moving on to anything else. So I'd be interested to get an idea from people speaking on what their thoughts are on that. Zahid?
I think that's an excellent suggestion for on behalf of Mason. And, you know, the sooner we can get that, the better it would be, because if, for instance, if it's not that and if it has to go, say, into the negotiation with the for the RAA, then we need to know this early enough so that, we have that option. Otherwise, if it gets delayed, then it might not be available as an option, and then we have to sort of look at a PDP or something else. So I think this is an excellent way forward. So I just wanted to say I agree with what Mason said, and I hope it comes back soon. Thanks.
Thanks, Zahid. Thomas.
Thank you, Stefan. Talking about fake renewal notices, I was reminded of an article that was, I think, posted yesterday by Thomas Rössler on Circle ID as well as on his personal blog. And if this is an easy topic for the council to deal with, we might jump on his idea and talk about who's data reminder policy as well. In his short article, which is very worthwhile reading, he says that he was part of the group at the time that installed the ICANN Who is Data Reminder policy, and he recommends that ICANN should get rid of it as quickly as possible because it opens room for vulnerabilities. You know, you simply just need to send terribly inaccurate Who is Data to the registrant and ask him to use a link to have that data rectified and thereby fish the person's data. So that's just one aspect. And you know, I know that's a little bit off topic now, but you know, when we need to discuss this very subject in a very quick PDP, possibly maybe we want to take care of the other issue as well in order to eliminate one of the vulnerabilities.
Stefan.
Thanks.
Mason again.
Thank you, Thomas. I think that's very useful. I have Mikey next, and Mason, was that you again?
Yes, please.
Yeah. So Mikey next, then Mason.
Mason, do you want to go ahead, or are you responding to Thomas?
I am, in fact. Do you mind, Mikey?
No, that's fine. Go ahead.
Thank you. Mason speaking again. Thomas, you make an outstanding point. That is an issue of vulnerability. I think that there would be significant members of the community that would disagree with that, not disagree with the fact that it's a vulnerability, but would disagree with the idea that you should get rid of Who is Reminders. I think I respectfully say to the council that what we should do is focus in this instance on finding an expeditious way without over-blanketing the community to deal with one particularly known bad actor and not deal with the situation in a way that sort of oversolves the problem when you know, when really all we need we need a surgical knife here. We don't need a big blanket solution. And that's the gist of my offer to speak with the registrars about how to deal with this in the quickest way.
Thanks, Mason. Mikey next. I'll put myself in the queue after Mikey speaking as a registrar, please. Mikey.
This is Mikey again. Just to build a little bit on what Mason said earlier, that's one of the reasons that the drafting team was lukewarm about all of the PDP processes, is that this is a very narrow topic, and the PDP is a pretty blunt instrument to hit this topic with. I want to build a little bit and say, having just gone through 2 years of the DSSA, where we were chartered to fly an airplane that we had to build while we were flying it, please, if you're going to launch a fast-track PDP, build the process before you launch it. Concern that I've got about taking the current PDP process and sort of taking nips and tucks out of it is that the process itself of changing all that may take longer than a regular PDP to do. And so I just, as a member of the drafting team, I'm sure that the rest of the drafting team would come in behind me in supporting this the offer that Mason's made as a much more constructive approach to this particular one. But if you decide to do a PDP, please don't burden the group that works on this PDP with the process of developing the fast-track process. That would be overwhelming. Thanks.
Thanks, Mikey. So I had myself in the queue next. Just wanted to add to the comments made on the Who is Data Reminders. This has been discussed before, and I believe, although my memory fails me, it's been discussed at council level when we discussed certain types of Who is work that we have going on. And I did indicate then, as I do now as a registrar, that there is feeling that the current system of Who is Data Reminders is flawed. I think Mason is right in pointing out that there's no agreement on stopping the system or cancelling it outright. However, it certainly is one that causes registrar customers issues, because some of them get a very high volume of emails sent, and it does open up certain vulnerabilities, as Thomas suggested earlier on. So I think even though it is slightly off topic, it may not be that much off topic, and it is something that we should have in the record as a worry for at least some registrars, certainly the one that I represent. Alan, you are next and possibly last on this topic.
Yeah, just in response to Mikey, I was not advocating at all that this a PDP group be chartered to answer this question and develop a new process. I was suggesting that that group would use the existing process as documented, which I think is the only way a PDP group could work, and nevertheless taking as fast a path through it as possible within the rules, and perhaps as an extra output, identify some ways that could be changed in the future. Thank you.
Thanks, Alan. Thanks to all for this discussion. Thanks to Mason for proposing a way forward on this. So, Mason, please move ahead with your proposed way forward of consulting with the registrars and coming back to the council as soon as possible, I guess, with proposals for options or solutions or next steps on this issue. And let's move to item 8 and the Internationalized Registration Data Working Group final report. On this, we have asked Julie Headland from ICANN staff to provide us with an update before, once again, moving into discussions of our possible next steps on this issue. So, Julie, if I can ask you to do that now, please.
Yes, thank you, Stefan. This is Julie Hedlund for the transcript, and I will refer to the slides that you see in the Adobe Connect room. And just to remind all of us, the Internationalized Registration Data Working Group produced a final report which contained four recommendations. And just to move through them briefly here, they recommended that there be the development of a data model for domain name registration data. And you may recall that the ESAC gave a presentation in Prague on SAC 54, which is a report on a suggested domain name registration data model. And so that relates specifically to that recommendation. In addition, there's a recommendation for joint ESAC GNSO work for the ESAC and the Council to request a common issue report on translation and transliteration of contact information. And the third recommendation is on protocol development, that staff and the community would identify a domain name registration data access protocol that meets the needs of internationalization. Moving to the next slide, then there is a fourth recommendation that ICANN would take appropriate steps to require GTLD registries and registrars and persuade CCTLD registries and registrars to support the following standards, and these are standards that are already in use in many cases and available now. That is, for domain names, both A-label and U-label, name server names, A-label and optionally U-label, telephone and fax standards referring to ITUT standards and email standards, and then registration status, EPP status where applicable, date and time standards, et cetera. And there's, of course, more detail in the report with respect to what those exact standards are. But I'll move quickly to next steps because I think that is where most of the discussion lies. As you may recall, on June 27th at the Council meeting in Prague, the Council passed a motion that approved the delivery to the Board of the IRD Working Group's final report. That motion also requested staff to draft a joint letter from the GNSO and ESAC to the Board to go along with the report to the Board, and also agreed to review the report's recommendations and advise the Board with regard to policy implications. I did send a draft letter for to you, Stefan, and to Patrick Faltstrom jointly late yesterday for your consideration, for the GNSO Council's consideration and for the ESAC's consideration as requested, and of course stand ready to assist with any changes to that document. And finally, just to note, because we were discussing it here today, as you know, the Board requested of all the SOs and ACs to provide comments to them by the 31st of August on the WHOIS review team final report. The ESAC is preparing comments, and that WHOIS review team final report specifically endorsed the IRD working group report's recommendations, and the ESAC in its comments will plan to reinforce those recommendations in its comments to the Board. And I stand ready to answer any questions that you may have.
Thanks very much, Julie. So let's open this up for discussion. Alan.
I'm sorry, my hand's up from before.
Okay, sorry. Zahid.
Hi there. Yes, thanks, Stefan. Zahid here. I just wondered, would it be helpful for the Council to, similarly as others have done, endorse this report and send it in a letter to the Board, or do we need a motion? What do you think, Julie, is a good way forward with this?
I think it's up to the Council to decide. Certainly the Council could make a motion to endorse the recommendations in the report. that is an approach if there is agreement on it.
Can I just ask, as we have already approved delivery of the final report, does that not count as... has that been perceived as, has that been perceived by the board, you know, Julie, as approval of those recommendations or simply what I understand it to be, which was that we agreed to have the report sent to the board but not to approve any specific recommendations within that report?
I don't know what if there's a particular perception in the board with respect to this motion. I think that the motion did try to separate out the fact that there are recommendations that may have policy implications, particularly the issue of transliteration and translation of contact information, and that there could be additional discussion and advice with respect to how to address those recommendations. So I would say that if the board were to receive the letter, and the letter does note that the ESSEC has approved the report, there could be a perception that delivery of the report could constitute endorsement of the recommendations therein. And if that's not the intent of the council, it may be necessary to make that clear in the delivery letter.
Thanks. Ching.
Yes. Thank you, Stefan. And just like to add perhaps some clarification. If you and other councillors may recall in our last meeting in Toronto and the meeting before that, is that we are considering this report. We know this work has been in our radar map for some time, and we'd like to make sure that this report, due to various reasons, including the new GTOD process, so we, as a council, we would like to make sure that we are working with ESSEC in a timely fashion. Then we deliver this report with the reservation if, say, that because in the report there are several recommendations, as Julie pointed out, and we are expecting the staff working with the ESSEC to develop, let's say, for example, in the recommendation one, if I recall correctly, on recommendation three, the staff now should be working with the guidance, under the guidance with ESSEC, on developing several data models for the community to consider how to actually implement the IRD, the recommendation. So I would say that at this point is that we deliver the report to the board, but the actual work needs to be initiated on with the instruction from the board. The staff will have to initiate it, that work on the recommendation, and then if there are there is to be policy implication, then the GNSO Council will have to reconsider whether there should be an issue report or, even a PDP.
Thank you, Ching. Any further comments? There's a suggestion on the chat that we maybe draft a letter to be sent by the chair to the board and approve it on one of our next consent agendas. Can I suggest that we refer to that suggestion as a possible way forward and continue this discussion on the list unless others have additional comments that they'd like to make now?
I'm sorry, Stefan, can I jump in quickly?
Please do.
Sure, thank you. I will support the way to have a letter and or a clarification sent to the board, but potentially we might just simply ask about whether the implementation plan or the data model, the timeline for that plan, what would that be? Maybe we can, you know, simply just to ask and follow up is that we have done this timely, but we would like to then seek for their the board and the staff their clarification on the timeline of this kind of this project.
In which case, may I suggest that just like any other, like the other letters that we're trying to draft, we seek for a volunteer to do an initial draft and discuss it.
Sure, that sounds good to me. And if I may be of help, I'll help and draft something and send to the list.
Thanks, Jing. I think that was a clearly appointed comment from me to you. So thanks for catching that, Thomas.
Thanks, Stefan. I would be fully in favor of putting this on the consent agenda. Nonetheless. Can you maybe ask, or maybe I can ask the question to the council whether there are any councillors that could foresee potential objections to that handling of the matter?
Didn't understand the question.
Whether there is one or more than one councillor who can foresee that they or their respective groups would like to object to putting that item on the consent agenda, because that would be good to know now.
I think it might. I understand now. I think it might be difficult for people to answer before seeing the draft, but it's a fair question, and perhaps one that we can bring up again as we get into the actual draft itself. Okay. So with that, and seeing no further questions on this, I will thank Ching for volunteering to draft an initial letter here, and we'll take it from there with further discussion on the list on this. We'll now move into item 9, which was another item that we have as a carryover from the Prague wrap-up, and we discussed the possibility of a small group forming to examine possible actions with regards to our bylaw-mandated 2013 GNSO review. This is obviously a topic of great interest to many, if not all of us, and we had on the agenda here a report from the group on possible actions ahead. Actually, I think I put that in there, but I do not believe that the group has been formed or that we decided to form a group. I believe that we discussed it, so maybe I got slightly ahead of myself drafting the this part of the agenda. However, I did ask Rob Hogarth to provide a small or short update to the council on perhaps what's expected in the review, what the bylaws mandate, and what we need to look at. So, Rob, are you able to give us that information?
Yes, Stefan, thanks. I'd be delighted to. Can everyone hear me okay?
Yes.
Great. Yeah, this item was originally, I think, in the agenda, two items. It was the GNSO review and an impact of new GTLDs on the existing GNSO structure. So I'm going to briefly touch on each of those issues in just about a four-minute presentation here. While you guys talked about the issue in the wrap-up session, there were also a number of other public discussions on the topic in Prague, and I'm sure there were a lot of private discussions as well. I recall from your wrap-up session that we discussed the potential for a group to get together, but there was no real consensus at the time on, you know, what the ultimate decision would be on the part of the council. So for purposes of this meeting, what I thought it would be useful for me to do is, as you said, Stefan, confirm what the bylaws say on this, spot some resources for all of you for your future discussions, and also to identify some potential community and council next steps over the next 30 to 60 days or so. So let's first turn to the bylaws. For those of you who want to look it up later, Article 4, Section 4, Subsection 1 of the bylaws touches directly on this. And I'll read it because it's just three lines for you. Periodic reviews shall be conducted no less frequently than every 5 years, based on feasibility as determined by the board. And I think a number of you have interpreted that feasibility comment as giving the board some flexibility in terms of what it can do. If I were asked my personal opinion on this, I think that the board has some, but really little flexibility in terms of the overall time frame. But I do think, based on my past experience, it does have flexibility in, quote-unquote, how the review is to be conducted. And I think this was really reflected in dialogue with a number of your communities in various meetings with the board members. In particular, this topic came up in the board's meeting with the registries, with the commercial stakeholders group, and with the registrars to varying degrees. If you look at the transcripts for the various meetings in Prague, it was 8 pages worth for the CSG, 4 for the registries, and 1.5 pages for the registrars. And the conversations in all those meetings, I think, touched on both the concept of the review and the timing of it, as well as, you know, what is the impact of new GTLDs and, you know, 1,400, 1,900 new applicants into the existing structure. And the one, there were two things that really came out of those meetings that were a common element, I think, from the board that you should all consider in terms of what your future options are. One is that in two of the meetings, Steve Crocker, relatively informally, asked the chairs of the various constituencies and stakeholder groups to jot down, and he said, I think, in two of the meetings, quote-unquote, very briefly, 1 page worth of thoughts or general comments that come to your all's mind about what the impact is likely to be or what the impact will be in your minds of, you know, all the new GTLD participants on your particular stakeholder groups and constituencies and on the GNSO structure generally. And I think in both meetings where he mentioned that specifically, there was positive feedback from your colleagues and your communities that that might be done. So I think that's one sort of touchstone or place to look at here. The other was that in two of those three meetings, Bertrand de la Chapelle and Ray Palczak mentioned the effort of the Structural Improvements Committee, where they basically said, look, we are working on examining what the review is likely to look like. We're developing criteria that we want to discuss with the community. And they also flagged the potential for a session in Toronto to focus directly on what the impact of new GTLDs will be on the GNSO and more broadly on the ICANN organization as a whole. And so those were the two real critical nuggets, I think, that came out of Prague and that offer you all a number of options. I think the first is there's that clear invite from the board chair for input. I interpret that as coming potentially from each of the individual stakeholder groups and constituencies, as well as an opening for you as a council to provide some sort of insight. And in doing so in two ways, one in terms of commenting on what the timing of the review might be or how it might be conducted, and secondly, on just the overall impact. So maybe some contributions on planning for this potential Toronto session. And the two key people there, obviously, are Ray and Bertrand, but clearly other board members, Bruce, Steve, and others, made comments in all your various meetings about this. So I think there's clear board interest in that. And if you look at the schedule of the SIC over the next couple of months, they're scheduled to meet sometime in the early to mid-September timeframe. And so if you all are going to put together something, I think the next 35, 45 days would be the timeframe to do it. You can get something in by early September. That'll give the SIC members an opportunity to look at it, and that will inform this Toronto process. The other aspect of this, and it was a distinction that Ray Palczak made in a couple of the meetings, is he made an effort to distinguish for folks who are listening the difference between structure and operations. he really emphasized the fact that at least in the FRC's time, they are looking at operations, not necessarily structures. But at the same time, Steve and Bruce, from a board perspective, were saying, you know, we aren't held to or we're stuck with a review process for us to make recommended changes to what the GNSO structure might look like. So I think there's a lot of opportunity out there, particularly in the short term, and the time is really ripe for some comments to go in, and I think they should focus not only on the timing of the review, but also on some of the broader points about what some of the new players now might look like, how they could potentially be involved. And I think a point that Christina Rosette made in one of the meetings, also an important aspect of how to potentially involve those new players in the review discussions so they can feel a part of the community before they're officially contracted parties or wherever they'll fit. So, Stefan, that's sort of a general overview in terms of flagging some issues for you. If you think it's useful, I can put together a document with the links to these various sources. For those of you who are interested in reviewing some of the transcripts or other stuff like that, can have some more information. And I'll stop there for questions and for your guys' discussion. Thanks.
Thanks very much, Rob. Any comments or questions, please, for Rob or general points on this that people want to make at this stage? Question does remain on our own specific method for considering this issue and whether we do want to create a group to look at this specifically or continue a more council-wide discussion on this. And it would be useful to get direction from the council, certainly with regards to that. Sounds like everyone's gone to sleep. Zahid, perhaps you can wake us up.
Hi, thanks. I mean, I'm just recalling the discussion we had in the wrap-up session. I think there was enough discussion. I think Wendy, myself, Bill, and others said that they would like to have a group formed, and, you know, I just thought that, you know, I'd reiterate that because I think that's where we were headed. I haven't heard anything to the contrary so far. I think we would need to do something like that if we are to respond. And I'm looking at the bylaws, Section 4, so it's clearly this is a review that has to happen every 5 years. It tells you exactly what the time is. It says shall. We can't delay it. There's no delay mechanism. And it, you know, talks about what the scope needs to be. So I think having a group do this would be helpful. Thanks.
Thank you, Zahid. Alan.
Yeah, I'll point out the bylaws don't give us provision for delaying PDPs, but we delayed a PDP on Thick Who Is due to circumstances. I think the board has at least that much discretion. And initiating a PDP to look at, among other things, structure at a time when the components of the GNSO are about to change radically is about as poor use of resources as I can imagine. And so I think, yes, we need to put together a group and maybe say that if indeed that's general consensus. Thank you.
Thank you, Alan. Jonathan.
Thanks, Stefan. I guess it's a follow-on to some extent from what Alan said. I think there's a key point here to focus on this issue of feasibility, which Rob also highlighted at the beginning, and understanding what is actually feasible. I don't know quite how one defines feasible, but also what's sensible at the current time. That said, I'm not opposed to a group at least addressing this, but I'd quite like to understand what the scope of that group is. When we bring together a group of people to look at this, the review, or what elements are, what's the scope of the group? Maybe that's a question to Zahid to just try and flush out what we think we're going to get from this group, what we expect in pulling this group of people together. What are we actually expecting to achieve with that?
Yeah, thanks, Jonathan. You cut out halfway through, but I think you got most of your question. I think if I can offer an answer from the discussions we had in Prague and from experience of similar small informal groups, the idea is just to concentrate the discussion between a select group of people that can just push the discussion forward and get back to the council with some proposed next steps or outcomes. So these groups are informal. There's no we're not in a set process. The idea here was that, if you recall, in Prague at the wrap-up, we heard a variety of views on this issue, and some were adamant that the review should start at the bylaw-mandated time, if not sooner, whilst others made the point that Alan just expressed, that starting the review in the current timetable would be a waste of resources due to the upcoming changes that the GNSO is about to see. So the idea of getting a small group of people in a room to discuss this was born out of the realization that there is a wide variety of views on this. So I hope that helps. I'll turn to Wendy and we can continue the discussion.
And Wolfgang.
And Wolfgang after Wendy.
Thanks. I'll reiterate my interest in being part of the group, and just as strongly as Alan seems to feel the other way, I feel it would be criminal of us to waste the opportunity of a review at a time when the structure is changing and we could implement it along with changes rather than in a separate cycle.
Thanks, Wendy. Wolfgang.
Yes, I just wanted to say the same thing. Like Wendy, I would be also, you're ready to serve in such a group. It's like not a traditional working group, but, you know, it's more like a think tank, you know, to think a little bit out of the box, because after 6 or 7 years or nearly 10 years under ICANN 2.0, I think the whole ICANN, as we realize, you know, also from other corners of the organization, you know, is ready for change. And it's always good to have some people, you know, which have the inside knowledge to think out of the box and to say, okay, what would be the alternatives taking into account all the experiences we have from the last 10 years. So not to wait that somebody from outside comes with proposals which are probably dislinked from the real experiences. So it would make sense to start here and now and to give this group a rather, you know, general mandate which would allow them also to think out of the box and not to give them very specific tasks, you know, what to do.
Thanks, Wolfgang. Any further comments? So may I make two suggestions? One, that we do form a group and that someone volunteer to be kind of coordinator for the group, just to make sure that the group does have discussions and that doesn't need to be done now. We'll call for people who are interested in being part of the group to say so on the list. We've heard that Wolfgang, Wendy, and others are interested. I will also express my own interest in being part of the group, and we will try and move this forward in this informal way on what does remain a very, very key topic for the GNSO Council, I believe. Having said that, we've now run out of time for this meeting. We have one agenda item left, which is one that we've been trying to get to for a while, and I suppose it's quite strange that when we want to discuss management of work and our current workload, we never quite seem to get to it because we have too much on our plate in the meeting that we're trying to discuss it in. But once again, I propose that we push this agenda forward, this agenda item forward to the next meeting, so that we can end almost on time here today. Although it is an item that there has been interest in discussing from myself and others, so we will get to it. But perhaps we will only get to it next time. And talking of next time, I just want to bring your attention to a couple of suggested calendar changes that Glenn has sent to the council list. Following discussion within the council leadership team, as you'll recall in Prague, I made the point that I thought it was crucial that we streamline our agenda working up to the open council meetings that we have three times a year at the ICANN meetings, just to make sure that we don't have a teleconference mere days before that meeting, which tends to empty that meeting of a lot of its substance. We had a look at the calendar. We were clearly headed for that kind of a situation once again, with a meeting scheduled a few weeks before the Toronto meeting. So we've taken the decision to change the calendar around with the dates that Glenn has proposed. I know a few have commented that they had no problems with the date changes, but some do. So please let us know if there are major problems with that. But I would strongly urge that we have a meeting at the end of August, have one in September, and then not have one in October until the AGM. With that, let me just quickly ask if there is any other business that someone would want to bring up. Zahid?
Yeah, I just posted this to the chat, Stefan. I just wondered, you know, we heard earlier, and going back to the defensive registration issue, staff said that they'd done a briefing paper, which is highly general, sort of high level. Is it possible for us, when we're considering doing maybe an issues report, et cetera, to ask them to do maybe before that a briefing paper, which would be more specific and a little more about the measures that could be possibly undertaken? I just thought I'd put that out there, and maybe we can have this considered in the next meeting, but I thought I'd just put it out there now. Thank you.
Thanks, Ahid, and staff will have taken due note of your question. Any further AOBs?
Happy holiday.
Yes, seeing or hearing none, happy holidays to all of the you who are taking some during this summer period. And thank you for your time today. I look forward to speaking to all of you at the next teleconference. In the meantime, please refer to the council list as suggested for all the agenda items that we wish to pursue during the month of August. Thank you very much. Speak to you next time. Bye-bye.
Thank you, Stefan.
Thank you.
Thank you, Stefan.
Thank you.
Goodbye. Thank you.